Good morning and welcome to worship at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for June 18th. For those of you who are at home with the congregation and for those visiting, may you experience God's grace and peace for this day and an encouragement of God's Spirit for the week ahead. Our music video this morning, Good Father, acknowledging God's our relationship with God in our lives, and also a sense of the specialness of what the calendar tells us today, being Father's Day. As you see from the title of Paul Adams' message, we pray for God's wisdom in our lives as a gift of grace and love from the Father. If you take your bulletin and just scan that over for some of the announcements, I will just highlight a couple of those as Kurt Cornelsen comes up. Please take note, the summer worship schedule will be changing in 2 weeks as we experience the summer and move our worship services to the west side of the building in the shade of the trees there. Bring your lawn chairs, but if you don't, there will be some chairs available. If there is inclement weather, we will gather here inside. The other announcement, also recognition of the summer season, is Vacation Bible Camp coming up. Registration is opened, and also a sense of requesting your help in that vital ministry in the lives of children. We know both for the children of the church, but also the wider community, this is a very important time, a week together, celebrating and learning more about God's grace and love in our lives. Kurt?
Good morning. Just one quick announcement. It's almost here. Next week, after 45 years of ministry, Pastor Randy will be retiring. So just a reminder, we'll have a special acknowledgement during the church service. Following the church service, we're going to be having a barbecue and a meal here at the church, giving everyone a chance to acknowledge and congratulate Randy on his many years of service to the church. We'd just like to bring your attention to the bulletin. We'd like for people to be able to bring in salads and desserts to contribute to the meal. The church is going to be providing the main course. I think we're going to be providing some hamburgers and drinks and things like that for everyone to eat and enjoy during the service. One other reminder, the acknowledgement book, the book outside, if you have well wishes that you'd like to write down for Pastor Randy that's still sitting out in the foyer, you've got now just 1 week left to get your message in there. So please remember to do so. Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt. Don't mind saying I'm getting nervous about this event, but hope our worship next Sunday, as announced there, is an opportunity for thanksgiving and a deeper sense of our relationship with God through Jesus. The call to worship reading this morning is taken from Psalm 116, a couple of verses, and invite us to prayerfully reflect on these words. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant, and you have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice thank offering to you and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Invite the worship band to come and lead us in singing.
Good morning. Please stand with us for our first song.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. Wounds which my the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
You to remain standing as we pray together. God of grace and mercy, we pause today to come into your presence because you invite us through your Son, Jesus Christ. While our wandering sins cause us to hide from you and those we love, like the father of the parable of the prodigal son, you wait anxiously for our return. As we confess our wrongs, we long for your embrace. And so we give thanks for the sharing of your Son, Jesus, who seeks to walk with us in the path of redemption. As we worship and hear songs of faith, and as we hear from your word, may our faith be ignited toward love and service for you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here I find my rest.
It's now time for the children's story.
All right, good morning again. What special day is it today? Father's Day. Did you all spoil your dads today? Did you do anything special? You spoiled yesterday? Yeah. What? How did you spoil your dad yesterday? You tidied up the house? Woo! Come to my house next. I like it. Marcus, what did you do? Breakfast and bed? Wow, that is awesome. Did anybody get their dad a gift? Don't spoil a surprise if they haven't opened it yet. Did you do that? Yeah. Does he already know what it is? Can you share?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You made a present? Oh, you guys are so good. See, like, oh. Now I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I didn't make anything. I didn't have any time. I was going to go out shopping this afternoon, and I don't know what to do. Like, I think we need food. I didn't do breakfast, and we've got Mr. Friesen, and then we've got Grandpa Friesen. Like, I don't know, and I got to get to a store, and I was just thinking, you don't mind if I check my wallet quickly, would you see? I'm just going to quickly check. Oh, guys, I don't know. I've got about $15. Hold on. I think I have a gift card. Oh, I've got an Indigo card for $25. That's helpful. But still, I have two. Well, you know, maybe I could put it on my credit card. Oh, I gave my credit card to Tommy yesterday. I don't even have it. Oh, I am in so much trouble. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, and then I'm thinking about dads and fathers, and I'm not ready, and I don't have a present, and I don't have enough to pay for one. And that's the way it is in the world, right? In the world that we live in, if you want to have something, you have to spend, right? You have to spend money. He really does have my credit card. That is actually 100% true. Yeah. You know, and then we have to think about another thing. We have our dads and our grandparents and the special men in our lives who we want to celebrate on this day. But we have another amazing, awesome, all-powerful Father Do you know which Father I'm talking about? Oh, Evelyn's got it. God, who we sometimes call our Father in heaven. And I don't know what to get him. Oh, I am so lost. So I'm going to go back into my purse. I'm not going to take out my wallet. I'll take out the Bible. Let's see what we can see. Maybe there's a hint or a clue. Can I read you a little passage from today's verse? So in this passage, it's coming from the book of Matthew. Jesus is talking to the people of the time, and he's trying to tell them, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness, which means like your good deeds or the things that you do to show how much you believe. Don't do them before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So he's saying we don't have to make a big show of things. Uh-oh. Well, then, if we don't, I was going to buy a present. I had my wallet ready. I'm going to get my credit card back from Tommy. But Jesus is telling us that that's not what God wants. So what does he want? Let's see. It says, then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, oh, there it is. Sounds like God wants us to pray. And then he's going to tell us about how we should pray. And the very start of it is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do you recognize that prayer? You remember what it is? It's a song, right? And it's a prayer, and it's the Lord's Prayer. So what we're hearing from the Bible is that all the wonderful prayers that we give to God, the praise that we give to God, where we tell him, God, you're awesome, is what God wants from us. And you know what the greatest thing of all is? It does not cost us a dime, because Jesus already paid the price for us. Jesus paid the price when he died on the cross. And now it's free. Now we can go to God anytime, and we can tell him we love him, and we can even ask him for things and ask him for help, and he will be listening to us. Let's pray about that. God, thank you so, so much for fathers, grandfathers, and caregivers. Thank you for letting us come to you in prayer, and thank you for giving us everything we need. Amen.
Thank you, Marion. The sound of children is such a blessing in the house of the Lord. As parents, I suspect as we do at home, we pray for our children regularly. And I don't mind sharing with you on a personal note, lately our son Daniel has causing Renata and I to pray a lot. This past week, he parked his motorcycle at Tuktoyaktuk. Let that sink in. Tuktoyaktuk, Northwest Territories, at the Arctic Ocean. And just to give you an idea of the distance from north to south, Northwest Territories, the highway actually goes through Northwest Territories in Yukon. Just to get to the border, the northern border of British Columbia, took him 3 days of driving. And when I think about the geography and the distance, it just thoroughly amazes me how large Canada is. At vast lands. And certainly, he drops a line once in a while about the wildlife. I'm not worried about the caribou, not worried about the Arctic hares. It's the grizzly bears that he comes across on the highway, especially when he's all alone. Last night, he spent the night at the southern border of Yukon, and Lord willing, he anticipates being here with us next Sunday for the worship service. That was just a personal note. Now to get back on track here. Father's Day, as you may know, does not quite have the same resonance to it that Mother's Day does. For those who try to exercise male dominance in society, that should be a message. I've been reading lately Arthur Boer's book, Shattered. A son picks up the pieces of his father's rage. It's a memoir, and some of you may know Arthur, who grew up here in the area, and certainly in his writing refers often to St. Catharines, Niagara-on-the-Lake area. It's a memoir of his growing up with an abusive and violent father, and Arthur's journey to ending a generational cycle of violence as he has embraced healing in his life. And for those who have experienced family violence, be it Father's Day or Mother's Day, are not necessarily times of celebration. And so we lament that. Recovering God's intention of security, support, and genuine love is our hope and prayer as a community of faith. And for those who have shared in families where there is caring, love, encouragement, and support, we give thanks to God's blessing for that in our lives. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God of truth and love, sometimes the reality of our living together becomes complicated, a web of contradictions. And so we come to you, seeking understanding and healing. We come to you to express our joy and thanksgiving for the blessing of good fathers in our lives. Today we give thanks for the fathers in our lives who reflect the grace and love that comes from you. And we pray for strengthening of bonds of relationship that go beyond the generations to the community, where we seek the good, in which we are able to thrive with the gifts you have entrusted to us for the care and support of others in our family, our community, and to the wider world. Gracious God, today we continue to hold in prayer the people of Ukraine for peace, for other areas in the world experiencing violence. We hear of the tragic deaths and danger for refugees, those on the move who leave their communities because the pain is just too much and who seek a place of peace. We pray for those who grieve. We share with Jake and Helga at the news of a sister-in-law's death coming at the heels of their brother's death. May they experience your touch of comfort and support for these days. We pray for ourselves as a community of faith as we transition to a new stage of life together. We thank you for the gift of Tim's leadership and anticipation of sharing life together in the future. And for that, we ask for your Spirit's guidance and leading in our lives as we readjust to new ways of sharing in ministry, which is the continuing work of your love and care for the world. Gracious God, bless the tithes and offerings we share for the ministry of your kingdom here on earth, that it may reflect your love and grace as it is in heaven. As Paul shares the word with us this morning, may our thoughts and reflections equip us for the challenges and the work, the leisure, and time ahead. For these days, we need your love and grace evermore because of the things happening in the world, and so we draw from your Spirit of strength for the living of our days. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15, and if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1504. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
May God speak to our hearts through the reading of the word of the Lord this day. It was a couple of months ago, really, that we were putting together who would be the worship leaders during the months of May and June, particularly. And it was a couple of months ago that I said, Pastor Randy, I said, would you be willing to worship lead on Sunday, June the 18th? And in his typical fashion, he said, yeah, sure. And it was only this week that we chose what the call to worship would be. And I must say, as I was listening to Pastor Randy leading us in the reading of the call to worship from Psalm 116, though I was focusing on the word, I also was thinking of Pastor Randy. There were so many phrases in that psalm that I thought of my brother, our brother. One of the phrases that Randy read, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Pastor Randy accepted a call from God, ordained into ministry, and you have been a faithful servant all these years. We thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I so appreciate the worship team. Thank you so much. The choice of the songs, appreciate that very, very much. The Good, Good Father that preceded our service will conclude our service as well. And that was by specific design. And we're thankful for the worship team. And for the additions to the worship team. Aaron, your friend there is... Lots of new people, and that young man in the back row there. Pastor Tim, that's great to see you. Anyways, thank you to Jenna and Tommy. And what's your friend's name? Faith. Nice to meet you, Faith. Thank you for your involvement today as well. The Father knows best. Hallowed be thy name in all the earth. And thank you, sisters, for sharing the children's story and for the reading of the scriptures this morning. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Someone once approached a teacher and asked her how to cultivate a deeper prayer life. She replied, say the Lord's Prayer, but take an hour to say it. Far from being a quick, rote form, this prayer Jesus taught us can become a life-giving pattern for rich communion with our triune God, with our Heavenly Father. Jesus taught us this prayer. Our homework assignment is for you to take time to slowly and meditatively pray the phrases of this prayer. Consider each clause as an invitation to be specific, to be personal, to pause, to reflect, repeating this process day after day after day after day, not in some rote, mindless fashion, but seizing these clauses of this prayer. Now, this morning, we're only going to look at verse 9 and verse 10 of this awesome prayer. I remember sitting having coffee with one of our church members, and the mother of this church member was also present at the time, a very good Anglican woman. And after one of our worship services, we were just having a cup of tea together, and she said, the mother of the church member, she said straight up to me, "You Mennonites don't recite our Lord's Prayer as often as I would like." Now, we do on occasion recite the Lord's Prayer. We include it so often in the Lord's Supper. We include it sometimes with our pastoral prayer. Who knows, we may end the service with the Lord's Prayer. But I had to agree with this dear Anglican woman. It's very, very significant that Jesus chose to use the name Father to describe this divine one, this eternal being known by many names. And Jesus chose to invite us to use the name Father when addressing our Creator, our God, our eternal being, the essence of life itself. Perhaps what led me to use the sermon title, "The Father Knows Best," is the sense that we are encouraged to put our trust in this awesome God. Truly, our Lord Jesus Christ knows the will of the Father, and thus we pray, "Our Father who is in heaven." As I was meditating on that first phrase, "Our Father," I was reminded and I was drawn back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we have Jesus, sweat drops like blood flowing from his brow as he prayed, "Abba, Father, if it is possible, allow this cup to be passed from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Matthew 26, verse 39. Do you pray the Abba, Father prayer? "Abba, Father, if it is possible, allow this cup, whatever is in that cup, whatever is the grief, whatever is the circumstance, whatever it is that you are anticipating with great fear, with unsettledness, if it is possible, allow this cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." This morning, as I was reading our daily bread, I came across the text from Ephesians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 3 and verse 14, says, "I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." In the Psalms, we read, "Those who know your name put their trust in you." Psalm 9, verse 10. The better we know the name of our God, the more we will trust him. And the more we trust him, the more risk we will take for the sake of the glory of God. And the more risk we are willing to take for the sake of the glory, his glory, the bolder we will be in our Christian presence, in our Christian witness, and the less dependent we will be on material things. And more readily we will volunteer for active duty in the service of the kingdom of God. I invite you to linger over those first words of the prayer. Our Father. And I want you to ponder afresh what these words and the following words, how they speak to you individually. Our Father. Both individually and also corporately as a community, as a family of faith. What's in the name? What's in his name? We think of the revelation of Holy Scripture. We think of the biblical revelation that we have of God as, in some ways, what we're able to glean from the Scriptures and indeed from all of creation. It is but the very tip of an iceberg floating in the ocean of who God is. The ocean, which is really a divine mystery. How much of God do we really know? 9/10 or 99% of God's majesty lies below the surface, even of biblical and creation revelation, like the iceberg. It's the divine unseen mystery of God and the tip of the iceberg that has been revealed to us in creation and in Holy Scriptures is so high, the tip of that iceberg, that it extends high up into the clouds beyond anyone's ability to comprehend fully. Oh, what is in a name? Our Father. Only the tip of the iceberg of the character of our triune God and of our Heavenly Father. Will it ever exhaust us in our study, in our meditation, in our being in silent awe before this God? Now, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us that as the first priority in praying, to ask that our Heavenly Father's name be hallowed. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's it mean to hallow his name? May I begin by suggesting in a very personal way, you find yourself a comfortable position for prayer, whether you're kneeling, whether you're horizontal, whether you're sitting in a comfortable, easy chair. And before you go on in your prayers, asking God all the things that are necessary to ask of our Heavenly Father, because God already knows, just say, Father, you are good. And I will sit in silence before your hallowed, holy presence. What does it mean to hallow God's name? It involves believing God and taking our orders from him seriously, trusting in him. Hallowed be your name, and I will, by God's grace, trust in you. Now, Moses, think about Moses. He didn't take God seriously. And he struck the rock twice with his rod. And in response, God said to Moses, because you didn't believe me, because you didn't sanctify me, because you didn't hallow me or treat me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Numbers 20, verse 12. Now, that's tough. That's tough, tough love. But our God is a holy, hallowed God, and He is to be trusted. We hallow the name of God when we keep His word, when we keep His commandments, when we follow His principles. If God said it, we believe it, we trust Him, and we will do it. We will follow through. So when we pray, Father, let Your name be hallowed, we mean, Father, may Your commandments, may Your word, may the principles of holy, Christian, godly living be expressed in my life. We read in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 22 and verse 31, so you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, and you shall not, here it is, profane my holy name. But I will be hallowed among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who will sanctify you. God, Father, we seek to trust You. We seek to walk in obedience to Your holy word, Your holy will. Guide me and direct me. May I hallow Your name, and may I be sanctified by Your work in my life. Another text that illustrates the meaning of hallowing God's name is also in the book of Leviticus, where Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, I will show myself holy among those who are near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. You realize that your very life, your very steps of obedience in Christian character, in Christian expression, you are glorifying God. You are glorifying God by your acts of witness and Christian character. Hallowed be Thy name. It's a request that I would take personally, and I would give expression of that hallowed, glorified name. We're not saying, Lord, Your name is hallowed. We are saying, Lord, cause Your name to be hallowed in my life, in the life of our family, our community of faith. That is, cause Your word to be believed. Cause Your word to be trusted. Cause Your commandments to be obeyed. Cause Yourself to be glorified in my life, Lord. Be glorified. Be glorified. That is our prayer, that we would make it our full passion to hallow, to glorify the name of our Father in heaven. For whom are we praying? The big question remains. For whom are we praying when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name? Whose heart are we asking God to change when we pray? Father, cause their heart to believe You, to fear You, to obey You, to glorify You. If we take our clue from the next two requests in the Lord's Prayer, I think we will hear two answers. In our Lord's Prayer, we are praying for ourselves, but we're also praying for the spread of the gospel message, for the evidence of the kingdom of God, that the evidence of the kingdom of God would pop up where you are present, where you are having that seasoning influence. After teaching us to pray that God's name be hallowed, Jesus teaches us to pray, God's kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Each of these requests, I would believe, is both personal and it's also communal. Indeed, it's worldwide. We'll move on to that. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus commands us to seek God's kingdom first rather than seeking food and clothing. In other words, we are to seek to let God be the ruler and the king in our lives now. God, You have first place in my life. His kingdom is a present reality in my life. Wherever Jesus Christ rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my life, be glorified. His kingdom is a present reality when we acknowledge His rule on our life. And so we pray, Father, Thy kingdom come. Let Your kingdom come. We should mean, Father, Father, rule. May Your kingdom rule. May the values, the principles, the concepts, the mission of the kingdom of God rule and motivate me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Be my King, Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I bow my knee and I submit to You. Get the victory over my anxiety about life's necessities, seeking first, in a personal way, an expression of the kingdom of God through my witness, through my Christian presence, wherever it would be. But just as important as the personal dimension is there's that community, indeed, that worldwide dimension. Jesus said to His disciples at the Last Supper in Luke 22 and verse 18, "From now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." In other words, the coming of the kingdom is not only a present spiritual experience in the lives of those who are followers of Jesus, but it's also to be anticipated as a future global, cosmic event. It refers to the time when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come in glory with His angels, and He'll gather His elect from the four winds, from the four corners, and establish His kingdom in a new heavens and a new earth. But that's a sermon for another day. When the kingdom comes that we are praying for in the Lord's Prayer, it will be composed of those men and women and children who have been ransomed through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, we are praying that God would extend His mighty arms to complete the task of world missions, to complete the full measure of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so, to answer the question, for whom are we praying when we pray, "Hallowed be Thy name"? We're praying not only for ourselves, but also for those who yet need to be touched and come to understand the gift of life through Jesus Christ. God's purpose is to be hallowed, believed, feared, and obeyed, and glorified. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, happy day for the redeemed of the Lord who have preceded us and gone into the glorious presence of our triune God. What a wonderful experience they have as the angels of heaven and the redeemed of the ages are fulfilling in the heavenly realm in perfect obedience to the will of God. And what we're saying down here, we who are yet in process, we're saying down here, Father, please cause me to obey Your will in the same way the angels in glory are obeying Your will. Psalm 103 and verse 21 says, "Bless the Lord, all His hosts, who His ministers, His angelic ministers, who do His will." Oh, I wish I could say I was always in the will of God. That's why we need to come back again and again and again. May Thy will be done in my life, even as it is done perfectly in the heavenly realm. Help me to do Your will flawlessly and to do it with the same fervency and undivided devotion that the angels of glory. Make my obedience like unto the heavenly obedience that's happening in the glory land. So we are praying for the kingdom to come. We are praying that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. We're not there yet. We still have work to do, both personally and as a community. We're praying that the cause of world mission, of Christian witness, of Christian presence would so prosper in our day that all the ransom from every tribe and nation and people and would be reached and gathered in, and that the King would come. The King of Kings would come. All right. Planet Earth. Present population of planet Earth. The King is coming. But until that great and glorious day when Jesus Christ returns to receive unto himself the kingdoms of this world, we have a work to do. Two brief implications for us. The Lord's Prayer gives us the priority of Christ's heart. You thought about that? This is important to Jesus Christ. That's why he gave this prayer to us. This is important. And we should learn that God's top priority is the hallowing of his name in all the earth. And if this is God's top priority, it should be ours too. That God is to be believed, feared, obeyed, and glorified by a people who have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. The consummation of all our joy will be attained when his name is hallowed in all the earth. The final thing I would say this morning is this. We learn that prayer is the root and underlying energy of any and all true Christian witness, gospel witness, our love and compassion, our support of one another, our struggles to defend the weak and the poor, the estranged and the outsiders. This prayer is the root, it's the foundation of all of our efforts. Jesus teaches us his priorities in the form of a prayer because he intends us to pray these priorities into reality. So as we leave here this morning, we say, here we go. Here we go. May thy kingdom come. May I seek to follow in obedience to the will of God. If the kingdom comes in our lifetime, it will be because the Church of Jesus Christ around the world has begun to take seriously the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Join with me, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, yes, beloved brothers and sisters, truly our Heavenly Father knows best. You are a good, good Father. Worship team will come and lead us in a closing song. Then I would invite Pastor Tim Amor to come and lead us in benediction.
Thank you, Paul, for that message. Please stand with us for our closing song.
stories of worth. They think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers. Far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you know and experience the fullness of the Father's love for you. And may we see his kingdom come and his will be done through our lives and by our prayers. Go in God's peace. Amen.